Hi, this is Bill Meyer. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. There are many more podcasts for this and all of our other faith radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast. Welcome back. 10 past the hour. It's Faith Radio. As our nation prepares to elect a new president this year, Americans have very different outlooks on the future. Here to provide some little bit of light on that topic is author, speaker, and Christian apologist Alex McFarland. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Bill. It's great to be on with you again.
Now, I believe you are just about to give the devotions at the Billy Graham Center in Charlotte, North Carolina. Am I correct?
I am, and what an honor that is. I mean, any preacher boy anywhere would be thrilled to be able to do that, and that's certainly the case with me today.
Well, I commend you for that. I have great friends at the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. I've worked with them in the past, and I have been to their devotions, and I will just be praying for you as you get ready to speak to that group of folks. I know you'll bless them with your comments. So,
thank you. God bless you.
Here we sit about 6 months away from a presidential election, and I know you travel a lot. You regularly talk to Christian leaders, and you talk to evangelical Christians in the pews, people from a wide variety of backgrounds. What are you hearing from them about their hopes and fears for the future, Alex?
Well, that's a great question, and as I was on hold about to come on, I was listening to your comment on Anne Graham Lotz's recent observations, and I wholeheartedly concur that we are a nation that is backed away from God. Not completely. I mean, there are millions. Bill, the good news is there are millions of God-fearing Americans who love Jesus, who love this nation, and who understand that it was Christianity that was the bedrock DNA of this country for more than two centuries. But we do need revival. We really, really do. And Bill, on my radio show, I've been teaching through the book of Daniel. And I was reading about in Daniel 7 and Daniel 8 and 9 about this one that would become the Antichrist that the Bible calls the little horn, who speaks pompous words and who arrogantly sets himself up against God and everything holy. It's very interesting in Daniel 7:25. It says this Antichrist, in his mind, set to change laws and seasons and times. And I've read a lot of commentaries. Interesting that even for centuries, Bible scholars have said, you know, the Antichrist and the mindset of Antichrist would be to tear down morality, to tear down the worship of the true God. Now, is the Antichrist alive today, and who is that Antichrist? I don't know. Only God knows. I'm just saying this. The idea that we can reinvent marriage, that we can reinvent morality or abolish morality and have no sense of right and wrong and we'll determine for ourselves what's right or wrong, that's ungodly. And yet that's not only where our country is, it's what our leaders and many of our celebrities and our media figures have encouraged. And that's why I agree with Anne Graham and yourself that we need the Lord, and we've got to humble ourselves and pray for a great revival.
You know, Alex, I was just talking about this story earlier this week about some new biotechnology that is pretty scary. And it involves combining the DNA of human beings and animals into what's called chimeras, you know, part human or part human, part animal. And they're moving forward on this in at the Salk Institute in San Diego and the University of Minnesota. And my comment was, you know, we've kind of pushed God to the limits, but when we start messing with his stuff, the DNA, the basis of life. What is he going to intervene and say enough is enough? It's very frightening and something I think all of us need to be praying about.
Well, exactly. And fortunately, God seems to have built into the natural world some just genetic barriers to this happening. You know, I'm a farm boy. I grew up on a chicken farm in North Carolina. We had 30,000 chickens, and for 70 years, my grandfather and dad and I, as a boy, we were in the egg business. But, you know, all around us were other farms that had cows and everything. And, you know, without going into too much of a biology lesson, periodically different farm animals would try to mate with each other, and it never yielded anything. There were times when deer would get into the horse pasture, and horses and deer would try to mate, but, you know, it would yield no offspring. And God seems to have built in some natural limits. But where we are today is we've got the technology to try to turn the knobs on genetics and reproduction of animal species, and God forbid now throw humans into that mix. Here's what makes it doubly scary. The rise of technology has been paralleled with a corresponding decrease of morality.
Yes.
And we are a somewhat unique generation in history when we've got technology no other generation ever had, and yet we've lost morality that every other generation did have. So will they be able to create some hybrid, unredeemable human-animal race? I don't know, but I do know this, that as long as the world stands, whoever calls in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. And, you know, we need the Spirit of God to restrain evil. And that's why I'm an apologist, and I'm always talking about the evidence for Christianity, but more and more I find myself talking to audiences about revival and repentance. I know it probably sounds simplistic, but it is simple. We need to say, God, I'm sorry for my sins. God, I need you. I've been living as if I were autonomous, but Lord, I really need you. I'm sorry. I believe Jesus is the Savior. Please forgive me and restore me. And yet, you know, Bill, in logic, there's this thing called the law of composition. The parts make up the whole. When the citizens are godly, the nation will be godly.
That is so true, and it's a great reminder, a great call to all of us to humble ourselves, get on our knees, and be praying and repent of our own individual personal sin and then the sin of our nation. We're going to continue talking to Alex about a new survey that he has developed on his website, a survey that you can actually take. Stick with us on the Faith Radio Network. It's 17 past the hour.
Not just information, transformation. Faith 90.7 AM 900.
Good morning. Welcome back. 19 past the hour here at the Faith Radio Network. It's Bill Meyer with my friend Alex McFarland, who's just about to deliver the devotions at the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association in Charlotte, North Carolina. Pretty exciting. And we'll be praying for Alex as he goes before the leaders at BGEA and presents God's word to them. Alex, you've put together a pretty interesting survey on your website. You are calling it the 2016 Malaise Index. Tell us about the survey and what motivated you to come up with it.
Well, you know, in the late 70s, in the final days of the Carter administration, this phrase came up, the Malaise Index. In other words, people thought that, you know, it's kind of like, whatever. Life is not so exciting. The hopes aren't so bright. We are in a time of malaise. And, you know, different surveys have been done about, you know, where people are economically. Right now, Bill, of millennials, two-thirds either live at home with mom and dad or are moving back towards living with mom and dad. And the idea of launching, as you and I in our generation would have done, you know, we go to college and we get that first job, and then we work on up, and, you know, we're going to marry and have a family and launch, you know, and become kind of self-sustaining. That paradigm has really shifted. Even among Christian 20-somethings, very often, you know, the idea of marriage and family is just not really in the cards like it would have been in previous generations. And part of it is this resignation, this almost sense of hopelessness, like I'll never become financially viable. I'm always, you know, resignated to working minimum wage jobs. So what we did in the survey that's on my website now on alexmcfarland.com, we are trying to get, you know, several thousand responses that would be considered a representative sample of America because, you know, we really want to find out kind of where people live on their outlook. So far in the responses, and it's only been up a couple of days, but, Bill, overwhelmingly people feel like we are worse off than we were a decade ago. The hopes of this nation are not better or brighter. I mean, sadly, and I don't want to be a pessimist because as a Christian, I'm really, my default position is, you know, I'm not even going to say optimism. I believe realism because the real truth is when you build your life on Jesus Christ, we've got every reason to be hopeful and every reason to rejoice. But where America is right now, at least according to our initial research, is people have a sense of hopelessness and malaise. And we want to give a pathway back to the brighter spot of godliness and trusting in the God of our founders.
You know, I looked up the dictionary definition for malaise, and I found it says it's a general feeling of discomfort, illness, or uneasiness whose exact cause is difficult to identify. I recall feeling like that at the Minnesota State Fair when I had one of those jalapeno corn dogs. I sense that a lot of people are looking at the political landscape right now, both the current administration and what might be to come, and they are really either concerned or questioning. And let's just talk about a few of the questions on the survey, and then we'll again point people to where they can take it.
Sure. Yeah, well, politically, we in America have got to face some pretty hard medicine that we really, it's not these days when we had a choice between, you know, a Reagan or a Dukakis or a Bush versus a Kerry. You know, I mean, we preachers, and I, you know, let me say this. I went to school under a very godly man named Jerry Falwell. Who was either loved or hated. And then you and I both worked with a very, very wonderful giant of the faith, James Dobson, who I'm actually going to have lunch with on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. But I remember when I was in school at Liberty in grad school and then even working for Dr. Dobson, sometimes people would say, well, you know, all those culture warrior guys, they're kind of alarmist. They, you know, maybe they overstate the case. And well, here we are in 2016, and the fact is, Colson, Dobson, Falwell, James Kennedy, they didn't overstate the case. They were saying 15 years ago, you know, I think about 10, 12, 15 years ago when you and I were working together, Dr. Dobson's clarion call back then was, we need a revival. We need a moral renewal. And now we're in an election cycle. And a lot of people are saying, well, you know, I don't like either of the two candidates. As of, you know, midday yesterday, Donald Trump has more than enough delegates to secure the nomination. I'm going to speak just for Alex right now. I'm not speaking for anybody except myself. But I will gladly vote for Mr. Trump over Hillary Clinton because while I ain't saying that he's the man we should call as our next pastor, when it comes to who's going to appoint the successor to Antonin Scalia, I'm going to put it this way. Mr. Trump might do good for the country, but I guarantee Hillary Clinton will do bad for the country. And maybe in a perfect world, if we had prayed more urgently for revival 10 years ago, maybe we might have a candidate that more Christians would be excited about. But I want to say when it comes to strong national defense, when it comes to friendship with the nation of Israel, when it comes to the economy, when it comes to, I think, a fundamental understanding of what America is about, I don't think that it's hard to see which candidate would lean more towards a representative capitalist republic rather than a pipe dream socialist utopia. So I'm not going to have a problem at all voting for Mr. Trump. Am I saying he's, you know, Billy Graham? No, not at all. But in a choice between the lesser of two evils, me as a Christian, I'm not going to have a problem voting for it.
I don't know if you saw Dennis Prager's piece on this very issue. Dennis Prager, a conservative Jewish talk show host who I have a lot of respect for. And he was talking about how several of his friends, many of whom are conservative Jews, who are pundits, political pundits, very well-known names, say there's no way they could support Trump. And Dennis laid out, I thought, a very strong case. And again, these are friends of him he was referring to. And he listed a long list of reasons why he would vote for Trump. Again, as you just said, an imperfect man in many ways. But the Supreme Court justice issue, Alex, I think is perhaps first and foremost. You mentioned, one successor, replacement judge for Antonin Scalia, who passed away. But there could be in the next 4 years, there could be another justice or two. I'm not going to predict this, but if Hillary Clinton was to be president, you can almost predict that maybe one or two of those more liberal judges who are getting up there in years would retire so that Hillary could appoint someone just as liberal or more liberal than they are. So yeah. this is a very, very significant issue. And that Trump put out that list a couple weeks ago of his short list of Supreme Court, potential Supreme Court justices. Some great names on there. I mean, people that I think the vast majority of conservatives, Republicans would and Americans would support. That's probably the crux of the issue for me.
Well, exactly, because the next one, two, or three Supreme Court justice appointees will be there so long. I mean, I'm 52. You know, we're not going to live long enough to see the balance of the court tilted back. I mean, should the Lord tarry, the decisions that the present and future court justices will make will have decades-long repercussions. And you know, by the way, when Scalia passed away, and what a champion of morality and constitutionality he was, God rest his soul. But when Scalia passed away, Hillary Clinton said, not her daughter Chelsea has said this and those close to her, said that, wow, here's an opportunity to appoint somebody that will further help disarm the population. Hillary wanted to leverage Scalia's passing for further gun controls. And, you know, that's just one issue among many. But yeah, I got to say that we do need to pray for America. Obviously, our home is in heaven. Our fundamental primary trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're a believer. And so I've had a few friends reprimand me and say, oh, Alex, the Lord's coming back. You know, why talk about America? And heaven forbid, you know, why vote for Trump? Well, you know, Jesus might come back today. But just in case it's going to be another few hundred years, so that the gospel can freely be preached, so that our descendants, our kids and grandkids can hopefully live in a free America, let's live and vote and pray and serve as if it might be a long time. But whenever it is, near or far, we're going to be ready.
Well said. Alex McFarland, our special guest here on the Faith Radio Network. Thank you, Alex. You can take that survey at alexmcfarland.com. And he'll have the results for us probably in the next couple weeks here on the Faith Radio Network. Have a great day, Alex, and Lord bless you as you speak to the folks of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association just in about an hour from now.
God bless you, my dear friend.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. If you'd like more information about this show, you can visit our program page at myfaithradio.com.